Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose, McKinney & Evans. I'm your host, Jason Dozier, and thanks for joining us again this week. On today's podcast, we'll hear from Midwest Hemp Council President and Vice President of Bose Public Affairs Group of Council at Bose, McKinney & Evans, Justin Swanson. Justin will talk about Indiana House and Senate hemp-related legislation working its way through the Indiana State House this week. And Justin, it's always great to have you on the podcast.
Anytime, Jason.
Now, we've got a lot to tend to today. This is our legislation podcast. A lot of legislation, a lot of things going on at the State House in Indiana right now. And we're going to kick this off with House Bill 1195. Tell us why that's important to people listening to this podcast.
Yeah, so House Bill 1195 was authored by Representative Judy out of Northeast Indiana. He's a veteran and actually grew a couple acres of hemp this year, or actually in 2019. So he had some real life experience with, sourcing genetics, and more importantly, experience working with our regulators and understanding essentially how fickle the 0.3% THC threshold is for our farmers in Indiana. So the bill did a couple things that I think are really good for the farmers that are, exploring a new area such as hemp. So the first thing it did is it raised the THC threshold to 1% from the current 0.3%. And what that does is allows, again, the farmers to experiment and explore new genetics without essentially becoming a criminal overnight based off of one test.
Mm-hmm.
It also made it very clear that Indiana is a Delta 9 only state, and actually prohibited in the testing of hemp growing in the field from decarboxylating that sample, meaning taking that THCA and converting it to THC. So that also gives the farmers more flexibility, and frankly follows not only congressional intent, but the intent of the Indiana General Assembly here.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at both the 18 Farm Bill and Indiana statute, it only mentions Delta 9. THCA is nowhere to be found. So it was a really good discussion. We had a farmer come and testify. He had a pretty successful year, but was forced to destroy about $250,000 worth of crop because his hemp tested just above 0.5% total THC. And the important part here is he was actually under the below 0.3% Delta 9 threshold.
So approximately how many other farmers would this have affected last year?
So if we had a 1% threshold right now, we would have saved at the very least 13 farmers from burning their crops.
Oh, wow.
And we're talking, ranges anywhere from 0.4 to 0.8, essentially. We're not talking 5-10%. This is, sometimes fractions of fractions matter, specifically in regards to the farmer that came to testify today.
And again, so this is House Bill 1195. Do we assume this is going to pass, or are there any potential problems with that?
So this was really more just a discussion. The committee did not take a vote, but I will tell you it's a huge success to even have the committee take time to understand and educate themselves on what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And right, the legislative process is designed to be slow moving, which can be frustrating to people.
Oh, they designed it well for that as well.
Yeah.
Without question.
American made, right?
Right.
So this is really just kind of setting up this conversation, letting them know that, hey, this is an issue for our farmers here in Indiana. And it may seem technical, but the real life implications for our farmers couldn't be more real.
Okay, and another bill that's on the table right now, House Bill 1384. That's the Kraft Hemp Flower Bill, and that's authored by Representative Eberhardt. Tell us about that bill, how that is designed to help farmers.
So the flower market right now for farmers is the most lucrative market that they can have access to. And so what that bill does is it sets up some common sense regulations around the sale and possession of craft hemp flower while addressing additional law enforcement concerns with the product.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Justin, but go ahead and tell us exactly what is Kraft hemp flower.
Sure. So this is the bud of the hemp plant. It looks and smells just like marijuana, but people, it's essentially just another delivery method of CBD to the body.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of taking a pill or the oil, some people aren't comfortable doing that because we don't have, national standards or really even strong standards here in Indiana regulating what goes into that actual oil or that pill.
Mm-hmm.
So some people are more comfortable actually smoking it because you have a much lower chance of that being contaminated with, vitamin E concentrate or whatever someone's cutting their product with, mm-hmm. as a, using your carrier oil.
Sure.
So that's really all it is it looks and smells just like marijuana, but it's just a delivery method, a different delivery method for CBD to the body.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And of course, for folks that are just maybe tuning in or just picking up on this, one of the problems with Kraft hemp flower is that, as you said, it looks and smells just like marijuana. So if you're pulled over with it, even if it's packaged properly, that can still raise concerns with law enforcement. It could be packaged differently on purpose to deceive, and that is one of the problems.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Jason. And I always like to reiterate to lawmakers, we've already taken care of that scenario of someone on the retail side, a retailer hiding marijuana packaged as what we call low THC hemp here in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a level 5 felony for the retailer to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's up there with manslaughter. You're looking at 1 to 6 years in prison.
Right.
Okay.
Not really worth the risk at this point.
No, let alone risking, your small business that you've probably invested your life in,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be selling marijuana, I don't understand why you'd avail yourself to the state and hold yourself out to the public. You're going to probably continue to do it on the black market.
Right, right. So House Bill 1384, it addresses this and hopefully we'll make it, we'll smooth things out and make that road easier to go.
Yeah, because it sets on some again, we want to work with law enforcement and we don't obviously want to make their lives harder, but we also want to follow the 18th Farm Bill and the Constitution. So what the bill would essentially do is set up a mechanism where the consumer could go to the retailer, purchase it, and then take it home to consume it.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't be allowed to consume it in public, and it'd basically be treated like an open container in a car.
Sure.
So instead of having that law enforcement officer have to guess what it is, if that seal's broken on that package, it's a strict liability infraction.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of takes care of the issue from law enforcement concerns.
So with this bill, you're basically only allowed to smoke it in the privacy of your own home.
Yeah. And look, it's maybe not ideal for everybody, but again, this is a slow process.
Sure.
And that we're slowly trying to chip away at.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That, by the way, folks can go to the Midwest Hemp Council website, and there is a graphic there with some information about House Bill 1384. You can also contact the House Committee on Public Health about this bill. So go there and get that information. Anything else about House Bill 1384 we need to know about, Justin?
Well, you just hit on it. So we have our legislative deadlines looming next week, meaning if a bill is not heard and voted out of committee by Wednesday or Thursday, depending on the chamber of next week, the bill's dead for session.
Mm-hmm.
And 1384 is yet to be scheduled for hearing next week. So just encourage our listeners, especially if you live in Indiana or do business in Indiana, reach out to the committee, the chairwoman, and ask for a hearing next week.
Absolutely. So very, very important call to action. Folks need to go to the MidwestHempCouncil.com website and do that. What happens if this bill dies?
Well, we'll be left with the status quo unless some of our opponents get some traction on their bills. So right now, what I've been trying to educate lawmakers on is if it's not a question of whether you want this stuff or not, because mm-hmm. This is a federally legal product and states are prohibited from interfering with, the interstate commerce of it. It's really a question of, do you want regulations around this product to ease law enforcement concerns and also allowing essentially transparency through traceability of these products for consumers to make sure they're making informed decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer your question more directly, Jason, nothing's really going to happen if nothing passes, but my biggest fear is you're going to have some bad actors out there that give the entire industry a bad name, and we go back to square one.
All right. Justin Swanson, Midwest Hemp Council President, as well as Vice President of Bose Public Affairs Group of Council at Bose, McKinney, and Evans. And we continue our legislative conversation here regarding hemp in Indiana and the Midwest. We move to the Senate side of things, Senate Bill 397. Tell us why that's important to the folks listening to this podcast.
So this is a bill authored by Senator Houchin. It's being actually heard in Senate Public Policy next Wednesday, I believe at 1:30. And we have some pretty big concerns with the bill. It sets out, we believe it probably overregulates the industry without taking any industry input that I'm aware of into the bill.
That doesn't sound like government at all. What's up with that?
You know, it also has some language in there on some nicotine vaping products. And it's just, you know, if we want to try to regulate this industry properly to the point where, right, we're maintaining the integrity of the hemp market here in Indiana, but mm-hmm. also attracting real investment and encouraging small businesses here in Indiana to invest in the space, we really need to have a standalone bill and kind of get together this summer and figure out what makes sense from both a law enforcement perspective and more importantly from a free market perspective as well.
So are they including hemp as tobacco in this, or how are they, how are they lumping all this together?
So that's an interesting question, and one that I recently discovered here in Indiana. CBD vaping products actually fall under the definition of an e-liquid, mm-hmm. which is regulated by the ATC. So you already technically have to have a license to sell CBD vaping products, and I'm not sure many people understand that yet. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure the ATC has enforced that yet, but I'm feeling that day may come sooner rather than later. And with this push to raise the age of tobacco use to 21, we're caught up in that as well, because we fit under that definition of an e-liquid. Mm-hmm. So currently you just have to be 18 to purchase and use it and sell it to somebody. And that has now, that'll be 21 by the end of this session.
Okay. And is that one of the only things coming out of Senate Bill 397, or is there anything we need to be concerned about?
And I apologize to confuse it. That's in a totally separate bill, Senate Bill 1. But really the concern with Senator Houchin's bill is it just overregulates, an emerging market. And also we just had our rules come out from the Seed Commissioner a couple weeks ago that sets out, makes it clear the Department of Health is going to regulate the processors. So we already have a regulatory structure in place. Mm-hmm. And I think our biggest comment on the bill is this really should be done in the rulemaking process. That way the state can be much more nimble to react and keep up with this fast-paced growing economy.
And is there anything listeners can do about Senate Bill 397?
I would call Chairman Alting and let him know that you think that this hemp regulations should be just that and stay in the regulation side, not end up in state statute.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else on 397 we need to know about?
No, I would just encourage everyone. All of these committees are live streamed, so you can go to the iga.in.gov website and find the committee and watch it live. And that way you can kind of educate yourself and see mm-hmm. kind of what we're up against sometimes at the State House on this issue.
All right. And we're not done yet. We've also got Senate Bill 335 out there. Tell us about that.
So this is a what we refer to as a Christmas tree bill on criminal law matters. And tucked in this about 120-page bill is language that essentially in 516 that criminalized craft hemp flower. It actually strikes a few provisions to allow the product to move through the state. Mm-hmm. So this is actually a good bill where it's clarifying that, hey, if you're a company that needs to get from Ohio to Indiana, from Ohio to Illinois, you're not going to have to avoid Indiana, right? Travel around the state. You can go right through it to make sure that you can get your products where they need to go.
And we know that's been a problem recently, or not necessarily recently, but this year with some folks, some truck drivers being detained because there was discrepancy in what their load actually contained.
Yeah, absolutely right. And so this gives confidence, I think, to businesses around the country that Indiana, is open for business and we are the crossroads of America. And we certainly don't want to be an island of essentially prohibition on one product of the hemp plant.
And how does the bill make it different for those traveling with the with hemp?
So right now the statute says you can't transport it through the state, mm-hmm. and it strikes a couple of those provisions to make it, you know, to make it clear that you can, that businesses can in fact do that still.
Well, now, correct me if I'm wrong. It is available in retail outlets in Indiana, but you can't drive it to those, deliver it to those outlets. Is that where we're at right now?
So, I mean, I guess to the 10,000 foot overview, I mean, the whole statute's still unenforceable because of the preliminary injunction the federal court granted the industry. But this is basically, if the Seventh Circuit doesn't agree with the industry on appeal, even if Hoosier farmers can't grow craft hemp flower, distributors can't move it, and retailers can't sell it, businesses still, at the very least, from out of state, will be allowed to transport it through Indiana.
It's not much
of a win, but it's, you know, I guess it could be worse is a good way to put it.
And Justin, we always hate to put you on the spot and make you try to get into the minds of lawmakers and tell us what they're actually thinking, because that is not an easy thing to do. But you seem to do it well, so we always appreciate that.
Thank you, Jason.
All right. Anything else we need to know about going on in the Indiana State House right now?
Just we got the legislative deadlines coming up next week. So that's essentially what we call halftime, where the bills that make it out of one chamber will go over to the other chamber and kind of restart the process. So mm-hmm. we'll have a much clearer picture of our legislative landscape at the end of next week. And they are still on schedule to try to get out on March 11th. So it's probably one of the fastest paced sessions I've been involved with. So it's been fun trying to keep up.
All right. Once again, Justin Swanson, Midwest Hemp Council President. Justin is also the Vice President of Bowes Public Affairs Group of Council at Bowes, McKinney, and Evans. Justin, anything else we can add to this conversation today?
No, I think I'll let you go, Jason. I think I talked your ear off today.
But some great information that you gave us, and we always appreciate that. And we'll let that all sink in, let people digest that. And again, we encourage them to go to the website and continue on with the craft hemp flower action and other things we discussed here. Justin, thanks so much. That's going to do it for today, and we will talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
And that's going to do it for our show this week. Thanks for listening to the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bowes Public Affairs Group at Bowes, McKinney, and Evans. You can find more information about the Midwest Hemp Council, as well as the entire catalog of podcasts, on our website, MidwestHempCouncil.com. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back next week with more. So long, everybody.